tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hey there, AfterBuzzers. Welcome back to AfterBuzz TV's Ray Donovan After Show. We're going to be breaking down Season 3, Episode 3, Come and Knock on Our Door. We've certainly been waiting for you. My name is Isaac Johnson. You can follow me on Twitter at Isaac Johnson. And joining me today is my good buddy, Sean Overman.
That's right. Thanks for having me back again, Isaac.
Yeah, man. Unfortunately, Matt Lieberman could not join us today. I think it's because he doesn't love you. I think that's what it is. Not you personally. Nope. You, the viewer.
The viewers.
Yeah.
Maybe he has a beef against us this week.
I don't think so, actually. I think he just had some scheduling conflicts.
Yeah, we miss him, though. And we'll welcome him back next week.
Yeah, we do. Miss him and welcome him back. Folks, head over to youtube.com/AfterBuzzTV. Go ahead and subscribe to the channel. And like this video if you're watching it right now. Leave a comment. We'd love to talk with you. Sean, how'd you feel about Come and Knock on Our Door?
This was definitely the best episode so far this season.
I agree.
A lot of just overall, there's so much morose things going on. Like, every character is just so, just like, down and depressing at times.
Yeah.
But this one had a little bit of what we needed for Terry to get out. You know, there was a big time deadline with him about to expire, right? Because he could possibly have gotten killed by the Aryans, right?
He would have definitely gotten killed.
So, I thought it was so funny how they hadn't cleaned the blood off of him yet. Since they put him in there.
But
I like this episode.
Yeah, I'll agree that this is easily the best of the season. I mean, it's only the third episode, but man, what an emotional impact this one had. Specifically, my favorite stuff was with Ray. We kind of finally let him get some emotion out there. He's been dealing with so much. I mean, we'll talk about it later, but the I love you moment with him and Terry at the end was sweet, man. Get this man an Emmy, is what I said when we were watching it.
And it's so cool because they're really manly men in this show.
Yes, but the brother dynamic, I mean, I have two brothers. I mean, I guess he has four brothers, but I have two brothers too, and I'm also the middle. I do not do any violence like Ray Donovan does.
Of course not.
But it was very relatable on a personal level to me, and I just thought that his performance really, really carried it through at the end there. Lovely stuff. Let's talk about Terry. As we said, his time is almost up there in prison.
It was.
And like we were talking about last episode, you know, he's kind of accepted his fate there. Sitting in isolation, you know, he's now talked about the leg has a tremor too.
He said he doesn't want to be a burden on anybody.
Yeah.
Right? He doesn't want Ray to come in and give him any assistance. But that's exactly what Ray's been doing this whole time. He's been paying off the one corrections guard to keep an eye on him, to put him in isolation, to keep him out of general pop. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah. I mean, I was thinking, you know, because we know that the Aryans are going to come after him. The guy is dead. We kind of, is he dead? No, he's definitely dead.
Yeah, we know now.
The ding got to him.
He punched him in the face.
With a weight.
Multiple times with a weight, right? Was it like a 5-pound weight?
It looked like a 10-pound to me, something like that.
Either way, like having a piece of metal, iron, slamming into your face over and over again, 5 or 10 pounds, that thing's going to make a big dent in your face.
Yeah, at the very least, you're going to have some trouble breathing. Possibly right then and die.
Yeah.
So Ray comes to visit him there in the prison. You know, tells him he's going to get him out. He says he doesn't want his help. What do you think is the reason that he doesn't want to accept the help? I mean, we talked about him feeling like he deserves to be here before, but is there something deeper?
I think there's a lot of reasons. Terry feels like his whole life is a lie now. Well, maybe not his whole life, but maybe his adult life, or the several years that he's been living in L.A. because he has the Fight Club. He just found out last season that it's a front.
Right.
He didn't know that it was a front. So unwillingly, he's really been helping Ray launder dirty money.
Right.
And his club's obviously not doing too hot with Bunchy at the reins, right? He doesn't own it anymore, pretty much, because he can't.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? He can't take care of it when he's in prison. So he just feels like he's lost everything. And he had nothing to begin with, because really Ray is the majority owner of the club.
Well, even last season when they were trying to, you know, I guess he was trying to clean things up and he needed to get like Ray's permission, but he's such a stubborn older brother, you know. I agree. I mean, like he did mention something about, you know, I don't even have the club anymore. There's nothing. Did he say something like there's nothing for me out there?
Anyway. Francis doesn't write to him.
Yeah,
anymore.
Francis is no longer
so
writing
he's
to him.
He's lost his lover. Right.
Yeah, he's probably still married.
Yes. And he also said that his Parkinson's is, we found out it's progressing.
Yeah, it is progressing, which is what the doctor said last episode.
Exactly. He's scared that he's going to be in a wheelchair within the next three years.
Yeah. Well, that's he said once that starts, that's the next step. So he feels like he's got nothing left to live for.
Now, how many years was he going to spend in prison? Probably, what, 7 to 10 years or maybe closer to 15?
Who knows, man?
It was killing another inmate probably up the sentence a bit.
Yeah. Absolutely.
He'll be an easy target for the other inmates, and especially the
Aryan brother. Yeah. And I think that, I mean, he's like, well, look, even if I survive, it's 3 years. Once the leg thing starts, well, and then he throws the I love you to Ray there before he walks out the door, which, you know, like I said, the brother stuff is like, hits me right in the feels, man. Gosh, you just in such a sad place, him talking to Ray. It was nice to see them have like a little moment of levity when Ray comes in the door there.
Yeah.
What happened to your face? What happened to yours?
What happened to yours? Yeah, that was good.
It was nice to see them just have a little moment of like, you know, they are brothers. I like that the actors, you know, make that relationship feel very real.
I felt that too. It was nice to have that moment of levity because I think we're maybe 5 minutes or more into the episode and it was just so damn serious.
Yeah.
So seeing that, I was just like, thank goodness, man. Thank goodness there's some humor in here.
Yeah, that's the writer's giving us a little treat there. I mean, obviously it is a heavy situation. You're in prison. You just killed a guy. I mean, I don't know that Terry's killed a guy before. I don't think he has.
No, he hasn't.
I mean, he's certainly been involved in violence before.
He's been a law-abiding guy. Like, the only person who's really gotten into big trouble... Well, they did kill that one priest, right?
Ray pulled the trigger, though. Yeah, yeah, he was there. He didn't stop it. I mean, exactly. I guess he couldn't have stopped it, but yeah.
Exactly. So they helped dispose of the body, but he's never physically, killed anybody.
Yeah, I don't think so, or at least we don't know that he has, so it's... It is heavy stuff, but like you said, it's nice to get a little joke in there. So let's talk about Mick. You know, of course, Mick's got his entrepreneurship up and running. Or he tries to convince them, look, just hang out with me for a day. If you like it, great. If you don't like it, you guys can run your own business, but I think we can help you out there.
He's got his prostitutes and coke out there on the street.
Yeah, he still seems to be pushing that rock up that hill there.
Yes, definitely. Helping, having them expand and move that stuff, work on the fringes.
Yeah, exactly. He's just like, you don't like you like donuts and Coke? It's a good way to wake up or something like that. I'll have to take your word for it. I don't know.
Awful idea.
Yeah.
But was that happening in front of the little girl, too? Ginger's daughter?
No, I don't think that she was there. I think at least Ginger sends her out of the room. Is that she doesn't know what's going on there. But, you know, so, you know, it was really nice to see Mick's concern for Terry, too. I mean, obviously, he's the reason that he's in there.
Not only did he start that harebrained scheme, but in addition, he abandoned them. You know, and Terry took all the blame for everything. No one else that was involved got any kind of sentence or pulled in for any evidence or anything.
He took the fall for the whole thing, and now it seems like Mick thinks that, well, if he comes clean now, then he can take his place.
Which is a lame idea, too. It's even worse. He's just going to sell himself out, and they're going to put him in jail, and they're not going to have Terry go at all. Of course, because Terry was still a part of it.
Right. Well, I guess it doesn't even necessarily matter now, even if he... did, because, well, now since Terry's killed the guy in prison, you know, we can get to the part where he goes to meet Judge Wettick, you know.
Now, do you really feel like Mick would have given himself up if he could trade places with Terry? Do you think he would?
In those moments, yeah. There was a lot of desperation from him. Well, you know, he goes to visit Ronald before he visits the judge, right? Because he's still trying to find her. Audrey helps him out there. You know, it's hard to find famous people's houses. I'm like, how does this little girl know so much about this stuff? But I guess she's good on the internet. The kids are all good with the internet these days.
They're good,
I guess,
with the tech.
Know? Yeah, I guess so. But, you know, his desperation when he goes to visit Ronald there, you know, threatens him. And then also when he goes to visit the judge, you know, I believe it. I believe that he would trade places with him just because of the desperation there and realizing that he's the, you know, I mean, like we said, he's the reason that he's in there, and realizing that he is going to lose his son. So he's a very desperate man. So, yeah, I believe it.
How awful was it at that moment when he's threatening him to get his son out that Wettick ends up having a heart attack?
I mean, there was a little setup there. We'll talk about it later, but a little setup there when Ray goes to visit him, where he pops the heart medication. So I had a feeling it was going to come into play. And then the guy's trying to get his pills, and you know, Mick's just not paying attention at all, you know, and just pushing him. And you know, I mean, I guess he did come after him with the shears there. So it wasn't, I guess, unprovoked, but
the judge escalated
a little bit, but at the same time, you know, it's not like Mick's like a smooth operator there and just kind
of.
He was
just blinded by rage. He wanted to get his son out of there, and then he sees this guy standing in his way saying no. So, you know, of course he's just going to push back even harder.
Right.
Push his hand away from his medicine, which he doesn't know what it is for. He's like, screw your meds.
Yeah. I mean, I think that he may have known what it was for, but I guess he just, you know, he's so blinded by. I mean, more so than rage, I would say compassion. Compassion for Terry. Obviously not compassion for this man that's obviously having a heart attack in front of you, dude. and then I like when Ray gets there and he's like, he just fell over.
Yeah, he just fell over. I don't know what happened. I dragged him into the house, though.
Yeah, I guess at the very least he doesn't let him die on his
doorstep. I think he might be dead.
Yeah.
Gosh, I haven't checked him yet.
Yeah. Well, and then so, you know, Ray comes there, you know, comes to the door, you know, he's actually probably got a solution at this point. And then, of course, he's laying there dead and just, you know, how long do you think it's been that he's been laying there?
Even if it's been over 3 minutes, right? Like, the brain's dead after 3 minutes, no oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it. He's gone. And Ray, you know, I thought it was kind of sloppy of Ray. Like, even though it was an act of desperation.
Yeah.
But it was sloppy for him to give him CPR, because if someone checks DNA, his saliva is going to be all over that guy's mouth now.
Right. Yeah.
But then again, are they really going to do that? Because, you know, it's just, oh, it's just a heart attack or whatever. It's a natural cause. So we're not going to do a whole crime scene investigation on
this
judge.
There could be, but like Mick didn't even try either. I mean, he just kind of like let it happen. I mean, I guess he doesn't know what to do.
Yeah.
Doesn't have this skill, I guess.
Well, Mick doesn't want to make out with an old guy.
Probably not. But so the thing that Ray says to him there in the scene, you know, everything you touch turns to shit, which is absolutely true. And you know,
and now we know where that line from the teaser last week fits in.
Right, exactly.
And he's absolutely right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I felt like that I didn't think this was going to happen. Right. But it, in a way, this was the judge dying at that moment for them. It's like, you know what? Terry's dead now because of you, Mick.
Yeah. Well, and that you can see that on Ray's face. You can certainly see that on Mick's face, too. You know, yeah, that is what he says to him. You know, like, you just killed your son.
And I felt like it was, I remember one of my predictions last week was, Daryl's going to be in prison now because of this whole, like, moving the coke through the horse thing. It's going to end up putting him in prison. And that's, hey, who knows? That could end up happening still this season. But that's, it is one of the big weaknesses that Mickey has, is that he tries to get his fingers in everything, and he tries to make everybody money and rich, but he ends up just screwing everybody over.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, so the moment that he finds out that Ray, you know, has solved the issue, you know, well, one, he was about to tell Bunchy what was going on, because he didn't tell Bunch yet.
And Daryl.
I mean, Daryl knew that it had something to do with Terry, but I don't think he knew exactly what it was, I guess, but...
Yeah, the look on, back in that scene in the apartment near the end of the episode, right? That's with Mickey's face. He just looked like he wanted to tell everybody, hey, you know what? I messed up.
that, which would have been great.
Yeah, and he's never said that to anybody. Really admitted, like, hey, I effed up. It's my fault.
Right.
And now our son, my son, your brother's gonna die because of something that I did.
Yeah, no, that's spot on, because when has he ever, like, admitted that he was wrong?
But then he gets saved by Ray at the last second when he's about to do it. And even the money, just, and we know Mickey loves money, the money just piling up in front of him doesn't even make him happy in that moment.
No, it doesn't. Well, and also when he's sitting out there, I just thought for a second, and this is probably, like, way off base, but when he's sitting out there on the balcony, just, you know, like you said, with that look on his face, like, what am I going to do? I've exhausted all my options at this point. I thought for a minute, man, is he going to jump?
Oh, wow.
You know, I mean, that might be, like, that's probably, no pun intended, it might be a leap, I guess, to get there. But, you know, the look on his face was like, I've caused this. You know, he tried to plead with, you know, he tries to even plead with Ray, like, what are we going to do? You know, and the desperation with the judge and all that stuff. I just thought, like, geez, the guy could, you know, I don't know what he's going to do.
He could be a good patriarch, you know, and he's in Mickey's messed up way. He is trying to be that guy, like the father at the top of the family. Everybody's spawned from him. He's trying to take care of everybody, but really Ray is the one who's taking care of everybody.
Yeah.
Mickey's just trying to do it with money, but Ray doesn't necessarily just do it with money. Ray does it with, like, getting out there on the streets and making things happen,
right,
and making wheels turn. We even demonstrated that earlier in the episode where Mickey's trying to get in using coke to bribe the corrections officer. Hey, step outside here. Let me give you something. With coke, really?
Yeah, two guys just talking. I'm like, but that's just, man, I appreciate that he's trying, you know? I mean, that is a good character trait for him. But he just has no clue of what to do or how to accomplish it. I mean, but I guess he wouldn't. You know, you got to imagine that, like you're saying, like, Ray's the real patriarch of this family. You got to imagine that when he went away to prison, that Ray became that guy and knew how to take care of them. So, I mean, I guess even in some weird way, all of Mickey's logic is, like, it's basically like prison logic. Like,
yeah,
you know, I can bribe a guard. No, you can't. You're just going to go to prison, too, and then two of you will be in there.
Mickey has all these schemes that he develops, and he never really follows through with them, not necessarily on his own. Like, he doesn't do the hard work. It was well demonstrated today in this episode, where he gets everything in motion, right? He's about to start turning the wheels, but then, oh man, my son's gonna die. Daryl, you take care of that. You take care of the girls. A bunch of you are here. Can you help with this? Help with that? Whatever.
Yeah.
And everybody just keeps handing it off to each other instead of Mickey just, hey, I'm going to sit here and I'm going to take care of my business.
Right.
My business that I started with coke and prostitutes.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it couldn't just be prostitution. It has to be whores and coke, I guess. I don't know. No. He just doesn't really know how to do it. He's giving it an effort, but like you're saying, he'll put things in motion and then put other people at risk.
Yeah.
And that's largely what he's dealing with here with Terry, you know, that he put him at great risk. You know, they didn't think about the consequences. He only thought about money. He can't just go and get an honest job. I mean, I guess he doesn't really have many skills. He was tired of washing dishes from last season.
Yeah, and peeling carrots too.
Yeah, and peeling carrots as well. So, you know, he didn't want to do that. But now his actions have consequences, and they're consequences for other people, you know. Cool stuff there. Let's take a little break. Talk about some iTunes.
Let's talk about iTunes.
Folks, if you are familiar with the iTunes, like Sean is, he's a master of the iTunes, he told me earlier. Head over to iTunes, find our Ray Donovan After Show for AfterBuzz TV, and give us a rating and review, 5 stars if you really like us, 4 stars if you kind of like us. And if you do, we'll give you a shout-out on the show, because AfterBuzz TV has over 100 hours of content every week. If you like TV and you like talking about TV, this is a place to come and watch guys talk about TV and then talk about it more with your friends. But we're your friends. So give us a rating and review. It really helps out the network.
Yeah, and I'm actually not the master of iTunes. I do download the podcasts.
Yeah, nice.
And I listen to them. However, I do prefer to watch on YouTube, and we got some comments on YouTube that I wanted to
pick
out.
Yeah, go ahead with those, and I'll give our – we have an iTunes shout-out, too.
Yeah, so we have Marianne Kramer on YouTube. She commented from our show on last week, another great show, didn't get to watch until the weekend, and thanks for the mention on the show. I did read the TV Guide article about Ray Donovan that Terry moves in with Abby and the kids, and Ray is not too happy about it. So, looks like, and I didn't get to read that article, so thank you so much for sharing that, Marianne.
I guess there's a little spoiler there, Marianne. Yeah, what's going on?
A little bit of a spoiler, but yeah, that's going to be an interesting dynamic. It's going to be nice for Abby to have a man around the house other than a big dog.
Probably, yeah. Probably.
And
you another one?
Yeah, I got one more. Sister Wendy, she said, does Katie Holmes' character have braces, or does Katie Holmes actually have braces? Does anyone else find that strange? If Mrs. Holmes agreed to play the part, wouldn't they either take the braces off on her scenes or film her scenes after the braces were ready to come off anyway? Really bugging me. So that's an interesting observation and perspective. I noticed you commented, Isaac, that I did notice that last week.
Yeah, when we were watching last week, you did notice that she had braces, and I was like, I think I saw them. I think they're only on the bottom.
Yeah. So, you know, what I was going to say about them was I'm thinking possibilities here. I'm thinking, okay, does Katie Holmes actually have those, or is it a part of her character? I think, hey, if it's a part of her character, it works for me, because I'm thinking, like, hey, it shows her immaturity in her character. Paige is still doing all that kid stuff, because what is she doing all day? She looks like she's just at home drinking all day in her father's big mansion, and she still hasn't moved out. She still lives with her father. So
it's a big house.
Yeah, it's a big house, right? So it screams to me like, hey, this character is still dependent upon her father.
Sure.
And it works. What did you think about it?
I don't know. I'd buy that if that was the case. I guess I don't know if there's a precedent for asking an actor to remove and braces. I mean, like, especially if they're permanent braces. I don't know. It doesn't necessarily bother me, but I did notice it. So good catch there, Marianne. This is from Packers Drive 12. Probably somebody from Wisconsin that likes the Green Bay Packers. Gonna be my guess here. It's A, four pluses after an A here. And ding, ding, ding. A plus, 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 ding, ding, ding.
great.
It says, great Huey Lewis opening to today's podcast. I believe Sean thought of that last week. Big Matt Lieberman fan. Aw. Sorry, right. Matt. Matt will listen to this later.
Yes.
No, he won't. I watched the entire season of bad shows like Under the Dome to hear his keen insights and hilarious takes.
That's right.
An interesting compliment, but it is a compliment. The fact that Ray Donovan is one of the best shows on the air makes it all the sweeter. Keep the laughs coming. Thanks so much for writing that review. We really appreciate
it. Yes, thank you so much.
So let's jump back in here. Speaking of Abby, you mentioned her about Terry moving in. Thanks for the spoiler there. I guess it's not really a big spoiler, but she's...
It's more of a teaser.
It's a teaser, yeah. She still has not named this dog.
I can't believe it. But you know what? It shows, like, her laziness about taking care of anything, really. She's taking care of this huge dog. She's taking care of her family, but not really taking care of her family, right? She's just doing, like, the bare minimum to squeak by.
And she's doing nothing at all, not even the bare minimum. I mean, she's there.
Yeah. She probably just gives the kids money and says, okay, off on your way to school, take the bus, right?
Well, Connor takes the money out of her purse.
Yeah. What is he
and
doing?
She doesn't put up much of a fight.
He's probably just calling an Uber to go to school, and then she stays at home and just, like, she's getting all the money from Ray still, probably. And then we have Bridget, who's just like, I'm out of here.
Bridget got a D in calculus, man. And I guess she at least seemed somewhat concerned about this, but not enough. Not enough for me, anyway. Like you're saying, yeah, I mean, not naming this dog at the very least. I mean, Connor lets it out the door there, and she runs outside. Dog, I'm like, I don't think it's going to answer to dog.
No. But if she only had named it, if she only developed a better connection and relationship with the dog, the dog was using her just as much as she was using the dog. Really?
Sure.
He doesn't like that lazy kibble that she's been giving him.
I guess not. I mean, I guess she did find it running away, so it's just, you know, learned behavior, I suppose.
It makes sense.
But yeah, like she hasn't named the dog. She's not taking care of business with Bridget or Connor. And at the end of the episode, she puts Bridget in charge. And I'm like, I'm sorry. Now she's in charge. These kids have been in charge because clearly you're not parenting here at all.
She's not. No. It really bugs me how yeah. Abby is, she's at home. She's just not. Really, like the dog leaving, that's the ultimate, like, hey, mm-hmm. you can't take care of anything. You yeah. really can't now. She even tried to tell Connor, like, put the leash on him. Why don't you do it? Why don't you put the leash on the damn dog so you can walk him around the block and pick up his doo-doo, right?
Yeah, well yes. Which is please curb your dog, by the way.
It's probably bigger than human.
That's a large dog. But, well, okay, so she gets home. And the first thing she does is take care of the dog. Let me feed the dog. Never mind feeding the children. Never mind taking care of them. The first thing you're going to do is take care of the dog. And she was excited about it, too. She was, like, skipping around the kitchen there. And I'm like, these kids need your attention as well. Yeah. This dog has been in the house for, what, maybe a couple of weeks?
The kids take off. They go to school, right? Mm-hmm. Connor, yeah, he's fishing money out of her purse.
Yeah.
And she goes to the dog. She doesn't give anybody praise. But then she gives a dog praise, and he didn't even do anything. He's just, like, sitting yeah. there, starts, like, salivating. Oh, yeah, you're going to give me food now, right? Oh, who's a good boy? Who's a big boy?
I mean, I guess, like you're saying, you know, no one else is really paying attention to her. Obviously, what she really wants is Ray. Even when Bridget tells her that you know, that Ray, you know, stopped in and, you know, that whole thing, you know, when Bridget says, you know, he didn't stay and she's like, well, he's just dealing with stuff. I'm like, you're dealing with stuff.
Yeah, clearly.
I mean, you're dealing with clearly your own issues. I mean, her only friend is this dog, so that's why she's so attached to it, but... You know, maybe the kids. I mean, it seems like Bridget is very desperate for her mother's attention here.
Yeah.
As she, you know, pretty much is all the time.
You know what's really sad is that her friends should be her kids at this point.
Yeah.
Right? She should be giving them support, giving them attention.
Yeah, absolutely.
And talking to them about their day. What does she do all day anyway, right?
Sleep.
She's probably sleeping with the yeah. dog in her bed all day mm-hmm. and drinking it up. Yeah. Right? Goes, visits the fight club every now and then.
Right.
And that's how she got roped into taking care of that kid, right? Ginger's kid.
Right. Yeah, that's how that happens. Well, I guess Mick calls her over and then, yeah, hey, watch this kid for a moment, you know. But, I mean, yeah, it's just continually, in, like, frustrating for her to be like, you know, gosh, I wish Ray was here. If only something could be done. You know what you could be yeah. doing in the meantime?
Figuring it out yeah. for yourself.
Yeah, at the very least, giving him something to come home to. I mean, obviously, Ray's got a whole lot of things going on. But if he is going to come home and you're not going to leave him, which it seems like she's pretty dead set on at this point, you know, she wants him back, you know... At least, you know, take care of business at home. Give him something good to come home to, I guess, you know. Yeah.
Well, Hollander's out of the picture, so I guess she thinks, like, the absence of that LAPD detective
yeah, the cop.
Last season, yeah, mm-hmm. the cop. Maybe she feels like that's what's going to bring Ray back, but Ray needs to come back on his own, really. Maybe
yeah, he does.
He's like the dog in this way. He just can't, he can't leash him. Yeah. He's got to come back home where he wants to come home to.
Yeah, and let's face it, he is a bit of a dog.
He is.
But even when she, you know... She takes Audrey over to his place. He finds out that, you know, like, Lena's gone or whatever. She finds out Lena's gone. You know, she's like, geez, Ray, what are we going to do? He's like, what are you going to do? I mean, what do you think as far as she's just like, how can I help? I mean, does she really think she can help?
She can't do anything. She doesn't have any kind of skills mm-hmm. in this underworld that Ray's got going on of crime and popular people, mm-hmm. right? She doesn't know. She didn't even want to be a part of this when she found out in season one mm-hmm. and some of season two where she found out, like, Ray, what kind of work Ray is really doing.
Yeah.
She still keeps her head yeah. in the sand, really. She's just happy with the money coming in. And in addition to that, she does, of course, want Ray to be home.
Right.
But I mean, she's not pleading with him enough, and even she's not showing him anything. Like we were talking about earlier, she's not showing him any kind of, hey, this right. is a real reason why you can come home other than me just saying these words.
Yeah. I mean, she doesn't know what to do there. I mean, I got to imagine that she has known all along that Ray's business isn't quite on the up and up. there. But, I mean, I guess at the very least for her, I like that she wants to do something about Terry. Even in that moment where they're kind of having an argument and she's like, you know, I can't remember what she said, like, I can't sleep or something to that effect. And, you know, she starts making it about herself in that moment where, look, the guy's got bigger issues. His brother is going to die today.
Did she even ask Ray about his face? I don't think she did, right?
I don't think so. I don't think that she did.
She doesn't care. She really doesn't care about him.
That's a little par for the course, probably. he's been beat up quite a few times. Yeah. His business is rough. It's just, you know, what's wrong with your face? Yeah.
Occupational hazard.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I'll at least give her that she is, you know, asking about what can she do. But obviously there's nothing that she can do. And then at the very least, when he says, sure, this is about you, she says, you're right, it's not. I don't know still what she could do to get him to come home, but I don't, like we said before, it's not probably something that's just all going to be her. It's something that personal that Ray's got to deal with. Speaking of him, let's jump into Ray's storyline here, because, man, we're talking about great emotional episode for him.
Yeah. And you mentioned how you can see, like, why he's up for a nomination this year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which, I guess he's up for the episode, or the episode that they submitted is the one that he directed last year, the Walk This Way episode.
Yeah, Walk This Way, which is a great episode. It was a fun episode, and and it ended with him dancing, which is something
with Connor,
that's...
Connor was nice.
Yeah, which was really unlike Ray.
So you think it was specifically the dance moves that got him the Emmy nomination?
I think him directing it and the dance moves, him throwing that in there. He probably ad-libbed it, who knows?
But those looked like his own moves. Didn't look like there was any choreographer there, no.
But what was actually unlike Ray as well, this episode was how Ray was zoning out so much in the beginning of the episode. You know, he just got punched to hell last episode, right? So at the beginning of this episode, we're transitioning away from that. He's beat up. He's got blood on his face, his shirt still. He's swollen, dumping his face in ice water, drinking away the pain. And he starts watching the...
he was watching Three's Company.
Yeah, Three's Company, which was so funny, you know, hence the name of the episode, Come and Knock on Our Door, right? But he was watching that, and he was even chuckling and laughing about it. He sees and hallucinates his sister Bridget is there, his dead sister.
Yeah, well, that's which I'm like, what does this mean? I'm not sure exactly, but...
She's signaling him in some way, right? Because we get to see that later in the episode, and it is during something important. But again, we see Ray zoning out in his office.
Yeah.
Very unlike him. Ray doesn't watch TV. He's not that kind of guy to just, like, become a couch potato. Mm-hmm. So,
well, yeah, of course not. I mean, in the beginning of the episode, he's still numb from, you know, obviously getting his face hit there. But he's been numb, and I think in some ways what's going on with Terry really kind of wakes him up. I mean, obviously, he is the guy that solves everyone's issues except for his own. You know, basically, he doesn't take care of himself. He takes care of everyone else. But I think this Terry storyline, which is, you know, what carries through the entire episode, has him realizing the things that he really cares about, specifically his brothers, family, really. Which, like we said, it was nice to see them have the laugh in the beginning of the episode there, you know, and I'm gonna get you out. You know, the I love you. I mean, that's like a nice little bookend because, you know, Terry says it to him in the beginning. He doesn't say it back, but I'm gonna get you out of here. You know, I don't want your help, Ray. Just don't help me. But of course he's going to, because that's his brother. What else is he going to do? You know, so a little bit of that drinking too is just him trying to figure it out, man. Every avenue he goes down, which obviously is a lot more calculated than Mick, he's shut down and shut down and shut down again. So he has the desperation as well, which of course is going to bring him back to Finney. You know, we had the offer from Finney last episode.
The contract offer,
you know, his Faustian deal, as we said.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't absolutely not taken that. So it's like, well, how are they going to get him to take that contract? Well,
we got some strong arms this time.
Yeah, well, in his most desperate situation, he's going to go to the most powerful person he knows, which is Andrew Finney.
Right. We have Goldberg, who got introduced, who's Finney's lawyer, apparently.
Right, yeah.
And then we have Strauss, who makes another appearance.
Yeah, a little appearance there. I really like... Finney is a different kind of, I guess, bad guy than Ray, right?
Yeah.
Ray will Ray will hit you. He will send a guy to hurt you. Finny will just use words, which makes me think, how powerful is this guy?
He must be super powerful, because this episode actually showed Ray's techniques for dealing with people, mm-hmm. and it showed Finny's really well, yep. too. So we know Ray. We've known him for two seasons already, mm-hmm. right? A couple more episodes. And we got to see in this episode when he's trying to squeeze the judge, he asks politely at first, mm-hmm. which is always the best thing to do. So you don't yeah. so you don't spend $500,000 or whatever it is.
Yeah, right? You want to save a little money.
Yeah, and so he puts down the 25K, right?
In front of Wedick there, yeah.
Yeah, in front of Wedick.
Or 50,000.
No, I think he said
50,000 now and 50,000 when he's out.
I thought it was going to be 25K now and then 25K later.
Pretty sure 50 and then 50 later.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, what do you guys think? Tweet yeah. at us and let us know. Yeah. But anyway, he gives him half the money now, and then Wedick refuses, and Ray's like, please, take the money. And he pushes it towards him, right? So then we see Wedick is like, no, he pulls out his pistol. If Ray yeah. didn't have a pistol on him, he probably would have beat the crap out of Wedick, because that's his escalation. Ray always goes, politely ask, money, and if money doesn't solve it, use force.
Yeah, he might have squeezed him there.
But then we have Finny, mm-hmm. who doesn't even have to resort.
He doesn't, which
he's
means
like a higher-level criminal.
Right? Yeah, he is. Well, I got to imagine that he has somebody that does that for him, you know.
Strauss, probably.
Yeah, probably Strauss. But even when...
and now Ray.
Yeah, well, especially Ray, which is why he likes him, obviously. But even when he, you know, after everything goes through with Terry... You know, I mean, that scene with Verona, before I get there, but that scene with the senator...
Governor Verona,
and they're talking back and forth, and he's getting the resistance. His temper never raises. His voice never raises. The only thing that he says to him, which I wrote down, this is taking longer than I would have expected.
Yeah.
And that message, whatever that was specifically was, got through to Verona there because, I'll get him out today. Oh, I'm so glad we could come to an arrangement here. I'm like, gosh, what was going to happen? Any thoughts of what would happen?
I can't imagine. Mm. Well, how about this? I would imagine that Finny has got some dirt, probably a lot of dirt, on Verona. He's probably giving him a lot, big-time campaign donations. I would imagine.
Well, that even when he says the, like, oh, how are the polls doing? He's like, I forget what it was like, well, I'm optimistic. Like,
yeah.
It's going to happen.
They're
it's
probably
work out
fixing
for
some votes for him,
I'm
too.
Sure. Something like that.
Doing a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. So if Finny just flips on this guy, mm-hmm. then imagine how he's just going to tank, and then his power as a politician is going to be nothing because he won't be in office anymore, mm-hmm. right? So instead of waiting for weeks, like he initially says, Finny yeah. just squeezes that little bit. It's not even a squeeze. It's kind of like a little tap with his finger.
Just a suggestion. Like the devil.
Yes.
Like the devil.
And he does have a devil gaze, right? Yeah. Gaze. Mm-hmm. He look just the way he looks at people. It's so funny, too, because Ray's a big, impressive guy. Mm-hmm. And then we have Verona, an even bigger dude, mm-hmm. right? Obviously, fat off his political yeah. gains.
A little bit of symbolism there, you know, politician, fat politician.
Yeah, yeah. So then we have Finny, who's just a small, small dude, mm-hmm. very soft-spoken, very elegant,
yeah.
But he's got that intense devilish gaze, and mm-hmm. that, and then just the way he speaks sets people off. And he didn't even have to do anything to Ray to get him to sign. Ray came to him,
right? And that's what I was going to say, is that he has this, he just knows that you're going to do what he wants. He never, you know, he, you know, we're negotiating, is what he said last episode when he offered him the deal. And now, even when Ray comes to him, he doesn't like, oh, I knew you'd come crawling back or something like that.
Yeah.
That is how you know that this is really solid writing, because you can write a character so powerful that doesn't have to threaten people, that doesn't have to gloat when he gets a victory. He just sort of casually, you know, what can I do to help you? Yeah. Are you tired, Ray? Come in here and sit down.
Did you need some coffee?
Yeah. Don't you want to tell me about what's going on?
He's like, a very observant man.
Very observant. Well, I can't wait to see how powerful he really is. Also, what it's like when he loses his temper, because that's got to happen at some point in this season. And
it's got to be so bad to the point to keep his kids living in the house mm-hmm. under his thumb, and to have his daughter drunk all the time in his house.
Yeah, I guess so. But, you know, like you said, he doesn't even have to convince Ray to sign. Well, Ray knows that by taking his help, he's going to have to sign the contract. This isn't news to Ray. But, you know, even then he doesn't say, like, oh, you're going to sign that contract. He just, what do you say, something like, I'm glad to help a friend or something to that effect, and then just kind of walks away, and then his guys deal with it.
Yeah.
He
just closes the door on Ray very mm-hmm. casually. But it was very obvious that mm-hmm. it happened, too.
Yeah.
And I wrote down here, too, like, what did it cost Ray? You know, it cost him nothing? Well, right, because he mentions him and Terry have that really good conversation at the end, right? Mm-hmm. Did it cost him nothing? Did it cost him everything? Or did it cost him his damn soul?
Well, easily his soul, because he is now. This is the kind of guy that you don't want to be in his pocket. You're obviously in his pocket, but when you, like we said, he was raised a desperate man here. He even if it costs him his soul, he'll sell that for his brother, which is very endearing. But it's interesting that like we know that it costs him his soul. But then when Terry's like, well, how much am I worth on the street? I didn't have to give a thing. But, like, I don't know, maybe, you know, with Ray not seeing himself as much, maybe the nothing is how he views himself or something like that. That might be going a little too deep. I don't know.
No, I think that's good. And I thought, and I want to read more into it. Like, mm-hmm. I'm sure there is more to read into mm-hmm. with Terry and Ray's conversation. Terry just walks away when he hears that. You know, he takes his swig, and then he's like, how much am I worth on the street? And he walks away. I don't know if he views it as an insult or mm-hmm. if he sees, like, oh, shoot, Ray, what did you have to do to get me out of here? You know, like, if he feels bad for Ray, too.
Yeah, well, I mean, Terry's no dummy. He knows that it cost him something. What Terry even says to him, you know, you can't keep carrying us.
Yeah.
And that was the moment where he's like, you know, because he's trying to like, oh, it's fine. You know, Ray's like, yeah, it's good and all that stuff. And then easily, for me, one of the best acting moments from Liev Schreiber when he just looks at him. He says, like, you know, I fucking love you.
Yeah.
You're my brother. What else was I going to do? It was just beautiful.
You're throwing that around about this episode.
I was this close to tears, man. Yeah. I would have if you weren't in the room by myself. I probably
don't let me stop you.
Yeah.
I cry at TV shows and movies all the time.
Oh, no, I do all the time. But, man, that was absolutely beautiful writing, and that the delivery there was spot on. Also, before we get out of here, really cool to see Frank back. He's got Frank in his pocket there, dragging him around. He's still got the tape from Kate there.
But he gave it to him, so now does this close out the storyline?
I think it does. Yeah. I think Ray's a man of his word. He's a man of his word, so I think he will do that. So cool to see him back, giving his speech in the auditorium.
He looked a little
there.
Chunkier. And he had no beard this time.
Yeah, when the second he sees Ray during his speech, is like, I thought I got rid of you. It's in the past. Like, no, it's not done.
It comes back to haunt me. And there's Ray, the ghost haunting me.
Also, Ray, like, look, I'll let everybody know. What are you going to do? You're going to sell us all up the river to save his brother? Absolutely, he would.
Yeah.
Really great character stuff, man. I think that's just why I love this episode so much. So let's get into some predictions.
All right.
And now, you're after Buzz.
So what do you got, Sean?
So, Isaac, I feel like Terry's still going to die in this season.
Really?
And I feel like that would make it even more powerful of a season.
Okay.
And emotional for us, for Ray as well, to show how he can't do this. He can't keep carrying everybody. It's a futile thing that he's doing. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like Sisyphus rolling the rock up the hill over and over again. He keeps trying to do it. He keeps trying to make the Donovan survive. Mm-hmm. But it's because he's the only one doing it. He's carrying this huge boulder. And if Terry got killed somehow, mm-hmm. some tragic way, maybe that big dog came back and mauled him.
Terry could take that dog.
Terry could probably punch it out.
Yeah, he'd take that dog.
But it would just make it that more satisfying to me to see that happen, to just devastate Ray so much where he realizes he needs more help. He's given away all his help. He let Avi leave. He let Lena leave mm-hmm. now. He pretty much told her to get out and take another job.
Yeah, told her to take the job. She took it.
But Ray he's falling back into his old ways, right? He's... Mm-hmm. He even said, I don't want to work for anybody anymore.
Yeah.
But he still went and signed a contract with the devil.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's forced into that position, so that's why. I don't know that I don't know that I want to see. I don't know that I want to see Terry die. I do agree that that would, you know, let him realize that he can't, you know, he can't carry them. So that would be, I guess, from like a story perspective, pretty cool. But I'd be very sad. I think this is just a temporary relief for him. At least he got this done. He still obviously got all the family stuff to deal with. You sound like you got another.
I feel like Terry's a doomed character. Especially with him being in the isolation and he in the hole, and he was saying like, "Hey, I got 3 years max." Like, I don't think we want him to get to that point in the series. Yeah. I feel like, hey, you know what? If he's already doomed, let's just off him right now this season. Oh, I know Sean, that's cold-hearted, but come on, man.
Oh no, not for me, man. I mean, I get where you're going. I get where you're going, and like, if it happened, I wouldn't be like completely surprised, but I mean, there was that moment where they were standing outside the prison, and I thought like, oh, I hope somebody doesn't like shoot him or something, because that'd be too tragic, but it's too early on for that to happen here.
See, that would have been even more shocking. That would have been like...
Yeah, too early in the season to have like a big shocking death like that. That
wouldn't
have
been good at all.
I mean, we know that there will be someone's shocking death in this season, and that would make the most sense, but oh man, I hope that doesn't happen on any level, man. That'd be very depressing for me personally, but looks like Abby's got a new boyfriend. Then those little, you know, next episode, little flashes
really?
There.
Oh, really? I didn't catch that.
She's kissing somebody.
Ooh.
And of course, you know, we did have her saying, "I just got to go away and take care of. I just got to go. I don't know how long I'm going to be gone, Bridget." I'm like, oh gosh, really? Okay, I guess we're going to do that.
She needs to find herself.
Needs to find herself.
She's having a beyond midlife crisis right now, right?
I guess so. Man, it seems like Bunch is. Well, he's also a photographer now, I guess. And in the family business,
he keeps like getting roped into things too.
Yeah. Still, I guess in some way, good to see him kind of. You know. With the lady there, it seemed like he liked taking those photos.
Maybe one of the girls will help him out with something, give him a freebie. Also,
we almost forgot how funny it was to see him check out the lady in the grocery store and figure out how to get... I mean, like, what? Like, who has a breast milk guy? You might have a weed guy. You might have a Coke guy, I guess, but apparently...
And he needs adult diapers, too. He wants to be a big baby.
What did he say to that lady to get her to come? What could he have said?
"Hey, lady, I'll give you $1,000. Come home with me right now, and I pump your milk."
It was a really great moment of levity.
She probably needed the money. She had two twins there, right?
True. I just want to know what that conversation was.
I felt a little Mad Max right there, right?
Yeah, right?
With the breast pumping.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Mm. Gross.
Interesting stuff. Gross stuff. Well, on that lovely note, let's get out of here, Sean. Folks, thanks so much for joining us. Sean, where can people find you online?
Hey, you guys, you can find me at Sean Austin O on Twitter and Instagram. That's SEANAUSTINO. And be sure to, actually, I just wrapped up my campaign. My Indiegogo campaign.
Congratulations.
Yes, thanks, Isaac. And I got enough money to pay a copy editor, and now we're moving on to that next stage of the process for my novel, City of Angels and Discontent. Be sure to check that out when I release it online this coming August.
Awesome. I want the first copy.
I'll give it to you.
Awesome. And I will pay for it. I'm not asking for freebies here.
Great. Even
I don't
better.
Need any favors. I don't want to be in your pocket, Sean. You can follow me on Twitter at Isaac Johnson, Instagram, The Isaac Johnson, and check out my YouTube channel, also The Isaac Johnson. Thanks so much for joining us, and we'll see you next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.